Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
And I want to continue on with what we talked about last Wednesday, when we talked about the importance of tithing. You know, all of us have a former life. And I don't want to bring glory to it, and that's why I don't talk about it a lot. And I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but we all have a former life. And aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for Jesus? And we don't have to be held captive by our former life, our former thinking. There's a new thinking that as we grow in the Lord, we develop. It's a sad thing that a lot of people who get saved, they never get a hold of so many principles that the new life offers. That they continue to think like they were unsaved, and being that we are saved, there's a new way of thinking. See, in my former life, if I gave something away, then I had less than what I once had. I mean, really, that's just the way I used to think. Well, if I give that away, now I won't have that anymore. But my new life tells me if I give something away, more than what I once had will then be given to me. And it's a new way of thinking that as we walk into the things of God, we start seeing there's a new way of thinking. And there's a new way that things come to you. For you tonight, does giving equal more or does it equal less? Just thinking about that. Because that's a question that oftentimes I think that we forget. Well, if I give this, whatever this is, I got to get it back. If I give this, then I'm going to have less than what I once had. But as a Christian with different thinking, when something is given, then you've got to understand a biblical principle. When it was giving based on the word, based on the things of God, then you've got to know you will have more than what you had before you gave that away, even though you think, well, if I give that, I could never. Matthew 3:8 says a verse that I'll just set us up for tonight. It says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. It embarrasses me sometimes when I hear someone say they're a Christian. By the way you're living and you say you're a Christian, Pastor, who are you to judge? All right, well, here's the thing. I've watched the way someone lives and they say, I've been a Christian for 20 years and the way you live shows no fruit of Christianity, and I just have a hard time with that. It shows me that they didn't really get the understanding of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They're all about taking the grace, but not growing. See, Malachi 3, verse 8, we talked about last week. We can't rob God. Everyone gets that. And if not, get last week's message. It's on podcast already. It's in the back available for you. It will give you a new standing, a new understanding on what you do with what God blesses you with every week. It'll give you new understanding. Matthew 21, if you have your Bibles, let's read a little scripture tonight. Matthew 21, verse 18. Jesus, focus of this story and what he did and how he looked at things. Verse 18 of chapter 21 says, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. I identify with that verse. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. He noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. You know, when you're hungry and you expect to satisfy that hunger by something that's supposed to be there and it's not, I can see where he was a little frustrated. He said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately, the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Jesus told him, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. Say this mountain, you'll be lifted and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything. And if you have faith, you'll receive it. Now, we all enjoy verse 21, but I think we miss what was happening here with the fig tree. Jesus comes in early in the morning, and he's hungry, and he's going to the fig tree to get something that the fig tree is supposed to be doing. What's it supposed to be doing? Producing figs. That's what it's supposed to be doing. And he realized that it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. What happened when he realized it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing? He cursed it. Jesus looks very dimly. I don't know how you would say. He's not real happy with non-productivity. That's what I read about this story. He sees the fig tree. It's not producing. And he says, may you never bear fruit again. The reason the fig tree was cursed is because it was not producing. And we wonder why people are oftentimes withering up. Everybody probably knows somebody at one season of their life was really a heavy producer and it looked like things were going well for them. And then all of a sudden they start withering up. Well, what happened? They quit producing. Jesus, the way I see it and the way I read it is, he wasn't a fan of non-productivity. I want to be productive. Matthew 25, turn over a couple chapters here. One of the most profound things I've ever read in all of the Bible. Verse 14 of chapter 25 of Matthew. It's in red letter. This is Jesus talking. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants. He entrusted money to them while he was gone. What did he entrust to them? Has God entrusted money to you this week? Okay, so he's entrusted money to you. All right, so we understand that while he was going to be gone, and so he entrusted money to him while he was going to be gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 21, let me point out a couple things. Verse 21, the one who was entrusted with five, after he went and produced with what he had, he was given more. When he produced with what he had, he was given more. Verse 23, the one with two bags, he took what he had and did some productivity with it. And then as a result of that, the master said, I will give you more. The one who hid what was given to him, the one who dug a hole and hid it, very lot of symbolicness to this. God's given you something. You need to let it be seen as growing and multiplying. But no, he hid it. He didn't want it seen. He didn't want anybody getting it. It was all his. Nobody else's to be entrusted with. I got to hold on to this. And so he put it in a hole in the ground, didn't produce with it. And then what happens? It was taken from him and given to the one who had taken what he had been given, put it out for display and said, let's get more. Let's do something with it. Let's be productive. I love this story because it tells me that we have to produce with what we've been given. We got to be producers with what we've been given. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. Though they will have an abundance. But those who do nothing with even what little they have, what they have is taken away. Does this story sound familiar with a little story that we've all probably read or seen? Robin Hood? Now, I will go on record to say Tim Stowe has corrected me on this story, and so I want to make sure that as I'm teaching this, that you understand the full implication of Robin Hood. The original Robin Hood was that they were going and getting back from the government what had been stolen from them. That's the original story of Robin Hood. But what we all know is the story of Robin Hood is what? Take from the rich and give to the poor. So what? Him who has, you got to take it away from him and give it to those who don't have any. What I think, I mean, it sounds like a good story. The only problem is it's not biblical. Nothing biblical about Robin Hood in the way we understand it. See, it's just because we've always been taught a certain way about money doesn't mean that it's the right way. And I believe that the devil has perpetuated this because he wants God's people broke, because when there's no money, there's no furthering of the kingdom of God. And I want the kingdom of God furthered. I'm not got a selfishness to this. There's a spirit of poverty in the churches like I've never seen. When the people in the Lord's work are all broke, Christianity doesn't progress. And that's exactly what Satan wants. Today, in the church, and I was taught this, so I know that it's there. The mentality is give everything away and you will be blessed. Because we teach in giving you receive. So I want you to understand, I get the principle of giving and receiving, but it's not giving everything. And I've heard people talk, having a savings account, pastor, is just not scriptural. It takes faith out of the message. Having a savings account is just not scriptural. I've just heard you're hoarding up money. I have. Well, that person, they just hoard it all up. And it was a big controversy in churches that I've went to in the past. There was a church that we went to, and I was amazed at the fight that went on with the church having a savings account. Can you believe that the church has a savings account? It's just not scriptural. And I went, where do you get this? Well, Robin Hood. Oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. We can't hoard up money or it'll be taken from us. My question tonight, to who is more given? To him who has. That's who more is given to. Has anyone been out today trying to get more? Some of y'all went to work today. That's why we go to a job. A few years ago, I got a hold of a principle out of the Word that's changed how Michelle and I live. It really has. I can't tell you how this scripture and this passage of understanding, my whole life has changed. And it's taken a while to really see the tremendous fruit of it. but it was just, as I've handled my money correctly, what I believe has been taught to me from a biblical perspective, I want to give that teaching because I want God's people blessed. But more than that, I want the kingdom furthered. And that happens by God's people being blessed. See, God has poured out his true riches in our life. And I know that there are many here that I have talked to that are walking in that now. Walking in the same thing that we got a hold of. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. In the King James or New King James, you may have problems following it possibly in the NLT, but I want to read it to you tonight. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. I love this verse because you're one of the two. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, but blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed you will be when you go out. Once again, you're either out or in. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Verse 8 was a principle that when we got it, it was like, wow. The Bible says the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The question would be, what is your storehouse? Because that's where your blessings are commanded. Your blessings are commanded in your storehouse. The storehouse is your surplus. You can just write that down. Your storehouse is your surplus. He has given you enough for you to have a surplus. God is the God, as we read scripture so many times and the definitions, he is the God of more than enough, not just enough, which means he is always giving more than enough. The problem is we are a people of not enough in our own minds. But there's a spiritual principle here that we've got to understand. For years, I consumed everything I made. If I got 20, I'd spend 22. Well, how do you do that? Credit. I mean, really, I just want to be real practical with the word. If I get 20, I had a credit card to give me 22, and I think, well, I'll make a payment next month. So I'd get 20, and I'd spend 22. I'd get 100, and I'd spend 120. But God says his blessings are commanded on your storehouse. And it hit me that you can't be blessed on something you don't have. I tell our LA kids all the time, Leaders Academy, I think it's really important that they get this. God, would you bless my marriage? Nobody prays that when you're not married. Why? Because God can't command a blessing on something that ain't there. You're not married, so God, would you bless my marriage? You're not married. God, would you bless my surplus? You ain't got a surplus. He can't command a blessing on something you don't have. So God says he's going to command his blessing on your storehouse. Enemies are going to depart from you seven ways. You're blessed in, you're blessed out. You're blessed in the country, you're blessed in the city. How? Your blessing's commanded on your storehouse. Why don't have any surplus? And so God's people aren't getting blessed because they don't have a surplus. The problem is they do, they're just spending it. They're spending the surplus. You wouldn't ask the Lord to bless something you don't have, but we're all praying for a financial miracle. God, I'm believing you for a financial miracle. And he says, I've told you how this works. Church, we got to get biblical. People have messed this up for years. It's easy to understand, but we don't understand because no one does it. Luke 16 start making a whole lot more sense. If you're faithful in the little things, we talked about this last week, you'll be faithful in the larger. So many never faithful in the smaller. Just teaching, and I mentioned this last week, but I think it's very important to mention it again. Give your kids some money and see how they spend it. It burns a hole in their pocket. Now, some of you are like, well, no. Well, that's great. You've heard this teaching. But most who haven't, and you give a child money and they can't wait to go spend it. They're going to show mom and dad how they can handle their money. And they're going to go and they're going to have $20 in their pocket and they're going to the toy aisle at Walmart. What toy are they going to pick out? One that costs $22 to $25. See, they're not going to pick out a $16 or $17, and they're sure not going to pick out a $10 one when they have $20. And that mentality, just we grow up with it, and then we're an adult and we think the same way. I've got $5,000. Just go into any car lot and tell them, they'll ask one of the first things, what's your budget? And you're going to tell them, well, I've got a $10,000 budget, or I've got a $12,000, or I've got a $5,000 budget. Let's just say, for conversation's sake, that you tell them you have a $10,000 budget. I have done this 100 times, and I have watched them come out and show me an $11,000 car. Every time. I said I had a budget of $10,000, and that's what I have to spend, and they're never going to show you a $7,000 car that it's going to take about $10,000 to get into. They're going to show you something over the $10,000 mark because they're salesmen. And then before long, you start agreeing with them. Yeah, we could probably add just a little bit more to that note. And now we're spending $11,000 on a budget we had of $10,000. We should have been buying a $7,000 car. It doesn't change from the $20 gift we're going down to the toy aisle at Walmart to buy because we don't teach this principle. We don't give kids $500 and see what they're going to do with it. We give them a dollar. What is God doing with us? You're never going to have a car that's $15,000 in your budget if you keep spending $17,000 to buy the one you had $15,000 to spend on. And that's just the way it is on and on again. See, through the natural things we do every day, God sees our hearts. Most people that hear this message, whether you're here today or you're hearing it on podcast, most people who hear this message understand what I'm talking about when I say pretty much more than anything else you could use right now is some money. Most people identify with that statement. More than anything else I could have I need some money. But you're spending every dime you make on payments, on this, on that. And let me just tell you, that's where we were. Michelle and I, we were right there. Well, Pastor, I get what you're saying, but right now I'm kind of in a pickle and I don't really have a choice. I got to spend money right where I got it going. And I don't have enough coming in to have a surplus right now. And that will be the thought everybody has. Everybody goes, I just don't have enough to have a surplus right now. So I can, and that mentality will mean you will never be a haver. Being a haver is real important because you have to have to get. You have to have more than what to get the surplus blessed so that the blessing comes upon your life. You got to get a different thinking here. Savings accounts are very important. When we got this message, we went out. The next day after I heard it, we went out and we opened a savings account for both our kids. It was really important that we started instilling in them the importance of savings. When they were born, we opened a policy that we could add to yearly. And so when they got to a certain age, we could turn that policy over to them. And it was a good thing. And that's, and a lot of people do that. And we did that. But the thing is, that's what Michelle and I did for them. And we were just, we didn't get the importance of doing it for ourselves. I knew that this principle that I was teaching, that I had been taught, was not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a process that would take some time. But you know, if you're going in and you're trying to buy a house, they're going to start finding out how much you make. Right? That's what they do. They start writing down, what all do you make and how do you make what you make? What would it be like if you were trying to buy a $100,000 house and you walked into the bank and you said, I have $100,000 sitting right here? Most generally, they would say, why are you here? Very similar story happened to us here recently. And again, I'm sharing some real personal information, but it's for the benefit of what's going on. We had to buy a house because we had a house that burned to the ground in 2012. Now, we had some insurance money that came in from that. We had some things we wanted to do with what was going on. And we needed that, but we decided that if we spent all of our surplus, we would have nothing to be blessed. And so we went in and we said, we need a loan. And they said, well, what do you make? Okay, so we started giving our income. And they said, well, that's all right, but what assets do you have? And I said, well, we have money in this account and this account and this account. And after we started giving the accounts that we had money in, they said, why are you here? And I said, because if we spend all that, we won't have anything to be blessed. And so I was able to sit there with a bank president and explain the principle of the storehouse. The reason we have this much money is because I can't let all that money go and expect God's blessing upon it if it's not there. And so he said, well, this won't be any problem at all. And I was like, I'm glad I started getting a hold of this several years ago. Because when I did start putting money back, all of a sudden we had a bunch of money we weren't spending. Then all of a sudden that opened up the avenue of whatever I was in a situation in need of, the money was there. The problem is now I got this mentality, well, we can't spend that, we can't spend that, we can't spend that. And I hear Tristan doing the same thing all the time. I just don't have any money, Dad. Yes, you do. But I can't spend it because that's my surplus. We got to develop a different thinking. Are you hearing this tonight? I'm just spending a little time here because I think it's really important. You got to make a commitment in your life that there will never be a dime that comes into your possession that a portion of that doesn't go into a savings account or into something that will be producing that will never, ever be spent. It will keep producing for you, and to him who has, more is given. The amount totally is irrelevant here. It's not about how much, you're not getting the principle. It's the principle of the matter. If you have a dollar coming in, then what's got to be spent from it? Of a dollar, you got to go back to last week's message tonight. If you just start doing tonight's message before last week's, you won't get it. Of the dollar that comes in, 10 cents has to go to the tithe, 10%. Remember we talked about that last week. Then a portion of that's got to go to offering. So if you take 10 cents and then whatever offering of a dollar, you're going to take a penny or 2 pennies or 3 pennies or whatever. That all determines on what you're needing of the other percentage of that. And then a portion on top of that, then the tithe and offering comes out of it, and then you put a portion back. And if you do that with every dollar that comes in, if 5 cents of that went into savings, you watch over a course of 10 years, you'll be blown away what happens. You'll be blown away with what happens. It's just wow. God's blessing is commanded on the storehouse. So first the tithe and the offering, and then we're gonna put some money back in the storehouse. It's just a principle that when you get, I'm just telling you, it pours over in the way everything operates spiritually. See, I'm a hard worker, and I know we got a bunch of you out there that are too. We got a bunch of hard workers that are broke. And it's because they don't get this principle. Hard workers, but they're broke. I'm a hard worker and I never had any money. I was making money, but it was a struggle to get to the end of the month and have money left over. So tonight, this simple principle, I ask you, what are you gonna do? Everything, I wanna keep getting this in, everything you have, unless somebody just really blessed you with it, you had to buy. I mean, just touch your shirt. Well, that was a Christmas present. All right, well, touch your pants. The pen you have in your hand, the paper you're holding. Somebody had to buy that. Everything that we have, we buy, right? Go buy some money. I'm just giving you a different way to think because, well, I've got to buy lunch. You got to buy a savings account. Nobody's going to give you a savings account. You got to go buy it. See, there's everything you have purchased. Go purchase some money. Well, how do I do that? You open a savings account and you never touch it again. And you might have to play tricks with your mind. I don't know. Go to another bank that you don't go to every day. But do something to get a hold of this. There are two types of people that are here tonight. Well, Pastor, this all sounds good, but we can't do that. Well, then you're just going to be looking your whole life for something that you're never going to find. Because the way this comes is the surplus. The next person here is going to go out and open a savings account tomorrow. Your kids, you're going to open a savings account for your kids tomorrow. You start teaching your kid about money and putting some in the savings account. 2 weeks down the road, there's going to be something you need more than that money in that savings account. Well, I just put $30 in there. Oh, but I had something happen and I got to go. You can't regurgitate that Big Mac you bought. Well, you might be able to, but it's just not the same. Once you spend the money, it's gone, right? That's the principle you got to have with your savings. But people just, some of you, this will last for 5 years, and then there'll be a new boat that you're looking, whoo, I've been saving. I've got about $5,000 sitting there, and there's so-and-so has a boat for $3,800. And you're going to go take your surplus, and you're going to spend it, and then God once again has nothing to bless. You'll find something more than you want money sitting there in the bank. If you're going to accumulate a bunch of money, it has to stay there. Now, some of you go, because you've got some money in savings, you've been doing all right for a while. And I'm not going to get into the real specifics of where you need to put it after it accumulates, but the Bible said the least thing you do is put it in a bank so it can get some interest. That's the least of what you do with it. See, we're in a season of life now that what I'm trying to do is the monies that have been put into a savings account, after it gets to a certain amount, I'm looking for another way for it to produce more than what it did. See, savings account, you might get 2%, maybe 1% out of that money. What if you could take that money and get 50% out of it? So after you get $50,000, $100,000 sitting there, you might want to be looking for something that's going to turn that $50,000 into $100,000 quicker than what it does sitting in the bank. But I can promise you, if you bury it, if you don't produce with it, then you're going to get it taken away. You got to be producing with what you have. We got to be havers. Otherwise, how is there anything for God to bless? See, I want to make whatever I have get more and more and more. And know this, right now we've done pretty good on 15 years living this message. But in 15 more years, I'm going, wow, what we can do with the kingdom of God. Because it's going to be more, as that money accumulates and you got a blessing on $100,000 or on $500,000, the next thing you know, you've got $1 million sitting there. The next thing you do, you can really be effective for the kingdom of God in a powerful way. Now, you keep going out and making the same money every day that you've made for the last however long you've been at your job. Well, I get a 3% raise a year. That's great. I'm not talking about amounts. That's insignificant. It's taking a portion of every dollar that comes into your possession and putting it in a place that you're not going to ever spend it again. And then you get to a place where you're living like no one else, not because of your lifestyle, but because of what you're doing for the kingdom of God. See, that's the whole reason I teach this principle. It's not so I can put people in a position where they can go, oh, look at me. That's not at all what it's about. Follow me as I follow Christ. See, that's what the Bible says to do. And I want to make sure that as you see people that are blessed, that they're Christians and they're being effective for the kingdom. I'm sick and tired of everybody that's blessed. Everybody that's living blessed financially have taken spiritual principles and they've used them. But the kingdom of God isn't being furthered because we're using them for an agenda to support an LGBT community. See, we're supporting and advocating sin in our culture. It takes money for all of that to happen. There's a war going on in our culture and money's fighting it. Where is God's people? They haven't been taught the principle of get a surplus. Get a surplus. Make sure your tithe and offering is there. Make sure that we're doing the right thing with the money we've been given. And as God's people are prospering, the kingdom of God will prosper. Does that make sense? I want to make sure you get the whole heart of this whole thing. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.